All right, let's sing together. Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service we receive revelation of your Son. In our hearts, purified by your Spirit, we see just as you see. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel and 28. Matthew's Gospel and 28. We're looking at the church and service, and this will be the last part of the series for now. And verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, which is the word power, is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, that's the word, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we said, I'll just repeat a few things I said in the first service, that the concept of church has different meanings today. And so I asked the question, there is what it is in Scripture and what it is that you see. You must be able to make a judgment call as to the church we find in Scripture and the church that is an option for us today. So our study so far has established what the church is. The church is a place where we make disciples. Matheteu in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. It means to train people, and I put it in very good words, to train people to serve God. That's what it is. To train people for the work of the ministry. And some people say, well, that verse is not talking to me. Like I said in the first service. So who is he talking to? Well, he's talking to the 12. Well, which of the 12 preached the gospel to you? Which of them trained you? None. So which means he's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. To raise people up, to train them. Matthew. And that's what it means. So the church's function in the earth is to make disciples of all nations. That's the function. We must know the function. We said the word church, the word ecclesia, has two words. Ek, out, and the word kaleo. We're going to explore a bit again this morning. It means God called us out, and we said to call means one. Look at the description again. I'm going to refresh your memory. Call means to call. Hello, hello, oh yeah, Shago, oh, that's call, one. To call, right, means to give a name to something. To call, to name, they were said, to call is also give function. God separated the light from darkness, and he called the light day, function, aquara. We'll see it shortly. He called the darkness night, functionality. Let us make man in our image after our light. Let them have functionality. So the word church is a function word. It's a verb in a noun. To call out, to name, and to give a function. So, what is the function? The function is to make disciples. What is the function? The function is to make disciples. So, the church's function, the function of the church, is to make disciples. So, it will be an abuse if we do not do this. And I'm going to just run through some things I said earlier. So, oftentimes we have a choice to make. Of what it is and what it ought to be. And then, so I don't like that church. So why? I don't like that church. I like that church. Now sometimes you ask them, well, what do you mean? I don't like that church. I like that church. Why do you don't like that church? You see, you hear some ridiculous things like they pray too much. I don't like that church. You know, there are two, I don't like that church. It's like a Bible school. I don't like that church. The service is too long. Now, he doesn't say it's not scriptural. He doesn't say, I don't like that church. No, you're not supposed to like church. You're supposed to obey God. I don't like that church. Now, if you say, I don't like that church, they discriminate against the rich or the poor. That's scriptural. You shouldn't discriminate. I don't like that church. They don't preach the gospel. That makes sense. Because they should preach the gospel. I don't like that church. Now you can say, well, they give too much. No, that's not Bible. In church, we give a lot. If I don't like that church, they sell the blessings of God. Well, that is a commercial center. Commercial nerve center. I don't like that church. I don't get to get business partners. That's straight fair church. I don't like that church. I can't find wife material. Next week we're starting a series. Before I do, when I'm done, what do I do? Why are you laughing? I'm giving you ahead of time. Before I do, when I'm done, so what do I do? I know you're happy. Oh, thank you, Pastor Ruby. We've been praying about this. Oh, so next week we'll start that. Amen. Amen. How did I get there? Come on, help me out. I don't like that church. They don't have AC. I don't like that church. The seat is hard. Is that your portion? That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. You're not talking from the Bible. You're talking from something else. Usually, what you're talking of is something you have seen in the world that you think is the ideal. So I said, there's church based on class. So people look for church based on class. They get to a service and they see everybody, the women wear pinafore. The guys' ties are like skipping rope. And then they say, ah. Nobody's wearing jeans. Nobody is sagging. Everybody's hairstyle is like my own. You know? And there's a... I can't fit here. Say why? They are too religious. How about that for a choice? The songs. Someone told me in Battle then, that was 1998. He said, the songs we sing... They are spiritual. You can see it. Very deep songs. They said they glorify. You see, they talk about Christ. He said, but sir, there should be other things. You know, I want a service where when we are singing, this is how we said it. I can almost remove my shirt and sweat. Said, can we add life to the praise worship? We're always raising our hands, kneeling down and talking. This. He has been scammed. He doesn't know what church is. So you must ask, is this the church of the Bible or the church on my street? Or the church on the internet? So there are those who are class centered, there are those who are ambition centered. Oh wow, I love that place. You know, we get to meet a lot of entrepreneurs, we exchange ideas, you know, and all that. So you have church service 45 minutes or 1 hour, then you have that kind of meeting 2 hours. And so church now becomes what they have formed, where you fulfill your own ambitions. And some also have the heavenly minded church. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in the number. Oh, when the saints, you're already born again. Oh Lord, I want to be in the number. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? I will be ready. Just about you. I will be ready, ready. I will be ready, ready. I will be ready when the Lord shall come. Heavenly race, I know go tire. Well, there's no difference in all the three I mentioned. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. None of them understands church. Church is where we make disciples. Disciples to do what? Disciples to carry out the work of Christ in the earth. So I said in the first service, you can't say God called you to be a medical doctor. For crying out loud, you don't need a calling to be a medical doctor. You need to pass JAMB, go to a university, graduate, go through medical school, graduate, be called, have your housemanship or the induction into the profession, and start to practice. That's not a calling. That is a desire, an ambition, an education, and a practice. The calling of the Spirit cannot be your career. Now, your career can be useful for the calling of the Spirit, right? But the calling of the Spirit is to do what Jesus did on earth. And to know there is not a transference of career, believers are not carpenters. Amen. And the apostles were not carpenters. Paul's apostolic partners were not tent makers or builders. So the truth is, you need to realize what church is. Church is the body of believers that carry on what Jesus has done or what Jesus is doing. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The church are the people that preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. That's verse 18 and 17. And speak with new tongues. Verse 18. You'll take up serpent. If you drink it, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's the church. The Lord has spoken unto them who were in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. John 20:21. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. 23. Whosoever sins you remit, I remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, I retain. And we said the church is the people that have the Spirit of God upon them, fulfilling the task. Now, in the first service, we ran through some scriptures, and we ran through it to look at the word Spirit upon baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is for service. It's to carry out the work of the ministry in the earth. And if that's the case, then the pattern in the book of Acts is somebody believes the gospel, then the Holy Ghost comes on them, which means, as soon as you believe the gospel, you start to fulfill the call of God upon your life, which is service. Luke 24 and quickly so. Verse 25. Luke 24 and verse 25. Why do I put Luke last? Because of the interpretation facts that are there. Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we said, in this series and others, that Jesus' Bible remains, or was, the Old Testament books, Genesis through to Malachi. So we said there, that which means that whenever we read the words of Jesus, it should lead us back to the Old Testament. I need the Old Testament to read and understand the New Testament. Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then he opened you the understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, so near me, to read the scriptures together. So we have the duty, therefore, to read the scriptures together. So when Jesus says in Matthew 16, turn there quickly, and 17, Matthew 16 and 17, in response to Simon Peter, and he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now listen carefully. So we said that the church is a codified language. What is a codified language? A codified language is a phrase or a group of words that represents events, people, characters in the Old Testament books. Usually it's a word, a phrase. But to know the meaning of that word and phrase, you must go and read the story behind that word. So we said church means an exodus people. People who have been saved from the world, just like Israel from Egypt. Therefore, it becomes functional upon that deliverance. Exodus 4:23, let my son go that he may serve me. Exodus 4:23 and 22. It says, Israel is my son and firstborn. You need to lay your hands on the first service teaching where we explain that word firstborn from Abel. Abel is the firstborn rights, or the first person to carry the office of the firstborn, Genesis 4, 2 and 4. And Abel, we found out, is a shepherd, a priest, and a servant. So when he says, Israel is my son and firstborn, Bekorah, Israel is my servant. Israel shall carry my office. In Hebrews 12, 22 and 23 says the church is called the church of the firstborn. So we're a church of people that occupy the office of the firstborn. You can lay your hands on the first service teaching, and we went a bit into that more. So the church, a body of believers, is one, a church by salvation, right? We are church by the Exodus, by deliverance. We are church by function. We are church by function. Now, so how do we function? We function through service. So we explored the word elder. We started it earlier on. I reiterated it in the other service. What do you mean by elder? Now, let me mention this. Like I said, if you've been following many of the things we teach, some use of words have history, but the history is not as far as the Bible. What do I mean? There are things, for example, that we have come to believe that you won't find in the Bible. One of them I mentioned during the teaching on salvation yesterday. We've been saying it for years as well. Now, for example, when you say elder today, people say elder is somebody in the church who has been around for a long time. Correct? Is not a pastor. No. He's not a pastor. He's not a teacher. He's just an elder. So whenever we have issues among couples, he resolves it. The youth fellowship, he talks to them. He's a businessman. He gives. Then we have projects like, let's build a church building. He supervises that. Well, that might be a modern meaning of elder. That is not the Bible meaning of elder. So in the earlier service, we said in Hebrews 11:2, by faith the elders obtained a good report, and we said the first elder in verse 4 mentioned was Abel. Interestingly, Abel was not the elder. It ought to have been Cain. But elder we saw earlier, presbyteros in the Greek, P-R-E-B-U-T-R-O-S. Presbyter, P-R-E-S-B-U-T-R-O-S. In the Greek, it means an example. So elder is an example in conduct, ministry, and service. That's what elder means. So elder, listen carefully now, will be Abel. Abel is called elder. Noah is called elder, even though he wasn't the eldest in his generation. Same as Enoch. Hebrews 11, 5, 6, 7. Abraham is called elder. That's okay, fine, he's the father. But then you have Isaac, not Ishmael. You have Jacob, not Esau. Joseph, not Reuben. Moses, not Aaron or Miriam. So elder is not age. Elder is example. Elder is the example of God's service in the earth. That's what an elder is. Now, like I said, there's a difference between what it is around you and what it ought to be. What it ought to be is an elder is that example amongst the Exodus people. Come on, are you there? You following that? So an elder can be young in age, but not young in the faith. Whereas a baby Christian can be old in age, but young in the faith. We need to correct that impression. Just like we say a deacon. Say a deacon is not somebody. A deacon is this fellow who does other things apart from the ministry of the word. That's absolutely wrong. A deacon is a pastor in training. Acts 6. We had 7 of them were chosen. Stephen and Philip. And what we saw them do in Acts 6, 8 and 9 was preach. Acts 8, 5 and 6 to preach. The elder, the deacon is a preacher. But a preacher who doesn't have oversight yet, but he's given the opportunity to serve in natural things and all that, it's a proven office before he's made an overseer. And that is why Paul puts bishop, 1 Timothy 3 first, then deacon afterwards. So one is like, what do you call it now? It is within the training arm, you know, of the other one. And that's how he puts it. But today, deacon is something else. I don't have a problem with that, but that's not Bible deacon. That's why Bible also calls Jesus a deacon. Paul is also called a deacon because they are servants. So examples of such people in scripture will be people like Eleazar, people like Joshua to Moses. He was a servant, he's deacon, the deacon of the pastor. Okay, then you have Elisha and Elijah. A bad one will be Gehazi. So the deacon is the one who serves with the pastor, and he delegates responsibilities to him. And that's not what obtains in some places today, but doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says that matters. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we have the word elders. The elders, therefore, are mature Exodus people, those who are now given responsibilities amongst believers. So earlier on, I'll just run through the text and we'll just continue from there. We saw Acts 2:17, your old men shall dream dreams is the word elders. Acts 11:30, the church was apostles and elders. Acts 14:23, Paul ordained elders. Acts 15:4, Acts 15:6, 22 and 23, the church had apostles, elders and brethren. Acts 16:4 and Acts 20:17. Let's look at that. Now, I said earlier that the word elder is used 66 times in New Testament Greek, 25 with the Synoptic Gospels, but in the book of Acts, 19 times. Book of Acts, 19 times. In the epistles, 10 times. In the epistles, 10 times. The book of Revelation, 12 times. So you have 25 times Synoptic Gospels. Then you have book of Acts 19 times, then the epistles 10 times. Every time it is used in the epistles, it's used to describe believers who are mature and who now handle leadership responsibilities. In the book of Acts, it's a mix of both believers who are mature and also the elders of Israel. Same thing as the Synoptic Gospels. But when you get to the epistles, it's to refer to those believers, Exodus people, church people, who are now mature enough to be given responsibilities. Are you there? Are you there? Come on. Let's look at a typical example. Acts 19. I'll just run through it. We've been there before. Acts 19, Paul got to Ephesus in verse 1. Then he finds disciples. Don't say disciples. Disciples are students in training. He discovered that the disciples of John never heard about the Holy Ghost. He preached unto them. They believed. They were baptized in the name of the Lord in Acts 19:5. In Acts 19:6, he laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came on them and they were about 12. Now listen carefully to what discipleship is. Let your eyes be wide open. This is discipleship. So Paul, verse 8, now taught them for how many months? Come on, how many months? 3 months. Of course, in verse 9, people were now really arguing. They come to the service, disrupt it. Let's take verse 9 together. Let's go. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated who? And disputing daily where? Verse 10, this continued for the space of 2 years. So, this is discipleship. It's teaching them every day. Now, something happened and Paul, the word of God grew, Acts 19:20 people, because when discipleship is happening, the church is growing. Discipleship is happening, the church is growing. Many more people are now involved in the work of the ministry. They are being taught to preach, they are being taught to teach, they are being taught to reach out to the unsaved. So what's going on? Then something happened and Paul got into trouble with the authorities. Then Paul had to leave Ephesus. He left Ephesus, Acts 19, through to Acts 20. After the uproar was ceased, verse 1, Paul called his and embraced and departed to go to Macedonia. Acts 20, verse 1, so Paul left. So much trouble, so he left Ephesus, because the issue had with Diana. So he goes around, then, after a while, in verse 16, Acts 20, Paul determined to sail by Ephesus. He's going elsewhere, through to Asia, but say, let me just check on Ephesus. For he said it was possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Let's take 17 together. And when Miletus from it is sent to where? Ephesus. And called the what? Now, what elders there? Old men or mature men? Mature men, the exemplary people, or now the leaders of the church. How did they become mature? Did they hear voices or he taught them? Okay, come on now. Did they have a vision or a dream or by teaching? By discipleship, right? So discipleship should lead to a believer becoming an elder. So what did he say? Look at verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, after the manner of time I've been with you all season, serving the Lord with you with all humility of mind and all that. So it goes on. Look at verse 31. He says, therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you night and day with tears. Every night and day. So Paul taught them, so such intensity goes on into the task. So they have now become elders. Let's see other things he called them. 28. No, verse 21st. I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. I taught you publicly and house to house. Watch this, which means these are people that did not select the meetings they will attend. So, which means we saw the one that was public, the school of Tyrannus, but was that the only place he taught them? Huh? So which means they attended services, they attended Bible studies, alright, within the service, but they also attended other meetings, house to house and public. So a disciple is not someone who selects where, okay, what he wants to hear. No. He said night and day. So these folks are disciples. What have they become? They have become elders. What else have they become? Look at 28. Let's take it together. Take it to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you what? So they are now what? Overseers. Well, you have the word bishop. What else? To feed the church. The word feed there means pastor. So let me look up everybody. What is, look up now, what is the consequence of discipleship? You become an elder. What else? An overseer. And you become what? A pastor. So when you see a believer say, I don't want to be a pastor, it means I don't want to grow up spiritually. That is the consequence of spiritual growth. Consequence of spiritual growth. Now, this may not be what you've heard, or what you hear. That doesn't matter. When you see a believer say, I don't want to pastor, I don't want to be in the ministry, he's saying, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to grow up spiritually. That is what he means. He may not know that that's what he means, but that is what he means. And so, they became elders. So let's look at the epistles now. First, Timothy 5 and 1. First Timothy 5 and 1. So we find that word. It says, rebuke not an elder, treat him as a father, and younger men as brethren. Obviously, this has to do with age. Okay? First Timothy 5. Now look, you'll see the distinction now. The elder women as mothers, younger as sisters with all purity. This is age. That is in a local church. I mean, respect people's age and experience. But this is not ministry. Now look at 17. Let the elders that rule. This is spiritual maturity. Let those who are spiritually mature, who naturally are in charge of other believers, be counted worthy of double honor. So we have elders by age and elders by spiritual maturity. and 19, against an elder received an accusation as his spiritual maturity. Titus 1:5. For this cause, watch this, I left thee in Crete that thou should set in order things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I've appointed thee. Which means that the consequence of spiritual growth is responsibility. It's automatic. It's something that has to evolve from it. Elders, presbyterios, those who are spiritually mature, and how we know it is that we put them in responsibilities. James 5:14. Is there any sick amongst you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Not the guys who are old. Some of them could even have fallen sick. It's those who are spiritually mature, who are over other believers. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are amongst you, 1 Peter 5 and 1, I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also the partaker of the glory that should come after. Let's take verse 2 together, 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the church of God. So the elders are those who feed the church. And he says, amongst them, there are those who are hierarchy, the youngest of the elders, and the elder ones in verse 5. 2 John 1:1. The elder unto the elect, John calls himself an elder. 2 John 1:1. Taught John 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. Taught John 1. The elder unto the beloved Gaius. So we have elders, therefore, are the spiritually mature in the congregation. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. So if you are in a local assembly, their job is to disciple you, right? To become a pilot, an effective pilot, to become a governor of your state, no. To become an effective businessman, no. Is to become an elder, right? Come on. An elder by age, experience, or responsibility. Very good. So the church, the function of the church is to take you from spiritual infancy or infanthood to spiritual adulthood, which will be responsibility. So, what does the elder do? What does this elder, what does he do? 1 Peter 5:1. The elder, think carefully now, is an example. Is an example. Verse 3. Example. Is a model. What else? 1 Timothy 5:17. Is a teacher. So when someone is ordained, when we lay hands on people, which Paul did in Acts 14:22-23, and which he asked Titus to do, Titus 1:5, the moment they call someone out, because number one, we recognize this a spiritually mature person who's seen his or her maturity, and when we lay hands on you, the reason for laying hands on you is to tell everybody, follow him. Is that clear? Follow that brother. Follow that sister. It's not for the person to sit in front. Fine, we'll give you honor and respect, but as you see in front, it's not to give you a new title. Oh, used to be brother, so I'm no longer brother. I'm now Pastor Shegun. No, that's nonsense. The moment that happens, you become the example. So example, teacher, elders that rule well. 1 Timothy 5:17. That's the word to rule. That word there, pay good attention, is the word in 1 Timothy 5:17, prostemi, P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I, P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I, to rule. Okay? Now the first thing is that examples, okay, they're mature, and based on that, they rule. So the elders are the rulers of God's people. Rulers. Put that word in capital letters because some people don't like those phrases, but I want you to put it in capital letters. The elders rule, prostemi, P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I. They rule. Romans 12 and 8. It means they are in charge. It means they are in control. So God puts His people in charge of His people. But that means God delegates His own responsibilities to His people who take care of His people on His behalf. So they will act like God, that's a very important statement, to God's people on behalf of God. Romans 12:8. It says, He that ruleth prostemi in the local church. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you, who are over you, prostemi, over you in the Lord. So in Christ, you have righteousness, you have eternal life, you also have people over you in Christ, in the Lord. They are over you. That means they are in charge of your life. God puts people in charge of your life. And these are believers who by maturity are now responsible for other believers. 1 Timothy 5 and 3. 3 and 4. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Look at 5. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Can you see that? How shall he take care of the church of God? Which means he will act like a father figure. The way he has to take, look at the semblance. He takes care of his children well so he can take care of the church. So that is spiritual maturity. Again, verse 12, the same thing. The deacons also should be seen in how they rule their homes. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders that rule well or who are in charge. 1 Timothy 5:17. Titus 3:14. Titus 3:14. Learn to maintain good works for necessity uses and be not unfruitful. Titus 3:14. Now look at these people are chosen from among us. There's another word we're going to look at. Hebrews 13:7. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them that have the rule over you. The rule over you. This is a different Greek word. It's the word egomai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. It means to lead or to be esteemed. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Just like we said, they are examples to us. They teach us the word. And they are our leaders. As though he wants you to not forget, in 17, he says, obey them. Now in 7 it says follow their examples. In 17, it says obey them that have the rule over you. The same word egomai. It's a verb. That have the rule over you and submit yourselves to Jesus. Is that what it says? Huh? Come on now, Hebrews 13:17. Obey the Lord. No, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. For they must watch over your souls. They must give account. Let them do it with joy, not with grief, for it's not profitable for you. And then the writer says, pray for us. Pray for us, these elders. Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:24. Salute all of them that have the rule over you. So that is consistent. Your leaders or your elders. Egomai. So we are believers. By the Exodus, we came out of Egypt, came out of the world and of sin, and God has called us to function. In that function, we have those who mature. Because of that maturity, they are now over us, listen carefully, to disciple us, so that we can just be like there. That is the church. Acts 15, the word ego mind. Acts 15, you can't lose this in Bible narratives. It's all over the scriptures. That's why it's very sickening for a believer to claim he is in a church online. Except where it's a persecution state, where we know you can't gather, that's understandable. Very understandable. But you see, the church has remarkable things that differ from organizations. The church is a physical gathering of people who are the church. You have to realize that. It doesn't work with your philosophy. Sometimes it works against it. Acts 15. Watch this again. Acts 15, 22. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church. Alright? Is that a gathering? Is that a gathering? To send chosen men of their own company. You can't choose elders online. You can't choose elders on the internet. You can't choose elders by email. You choose elders among you. Look at it. 22. Chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, son of Barsabas, and Silas. Chief, the word there is egomai, amongst the brethren. Leaders, those who are over the brethren. Chief amongst the brethren. Of course, when you say chief in Nigeria, that could be a traditional title. Okay? Acts 14:2-12. Paul is called the chief speaker. That's the word chief there. Egomai. Chief. This is something or a word that describes Jesus. Matthew 2 and 6. Matthew 2 and 6. Brethren, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of me shall come a governor who shall rule my people. So one other name to call a leader is a governor. Egomai. A chief. Someone who governs other believers. Luke 22, 26 is secular. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13. I'll start from 12. We read 12 the last time, right? Right? Prostemi. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you are over you, prostemi, in the Lord, and admonish you. Then verse 13, esteem them very highly, egomai, esteem them, put them in leadership roles, which means you must see them. That word means to consider somebody highly esteemed. So, the leaders are governors, same Hebrews 13, 7, 17 and 24. Where do we choose them? It says, among us. Among us. So, a leader is not someone who is sent somewhere that is not known by. No, it's among us. Those who are already exemplary, who we can see their maturity. And that happened in Acts 6. Choose amongst you men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, who will have seen it. So, the leader is first exemplary, then he teaches, then he rules. Exemplary, teaches, then rules. This is the natural consequence of spiritual growth. In Exodus 18, where Jethro spoke to Moses, again, on the Exodus audience, the Exodus people, he said to him in Exodus 18, verse 21. Of course, you know the story. Moses wanted to do the whole work alone. And then Jethro said, this what you're doing is not good. You wear out yourself. You wear out the people. What you need to do is, you teach the word, verse 19 and 20, Exodus 18, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over. So look at what starts first. The first thing is not to place over people. The first thing is that they are able men. Able men who have capacity. Out of all the people, they fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Examples. Mature examples, then we put you over. It's not by, someone one time said, well, I used to be a pastor. He told me that years back. We were at 378 Abbot Macaulay then. He said, ever since I joined this ministry, I've been so blessed, you know, told me all that nice platitudes. It's fine. So, I used to be in the home ministry. He said I was the associate pastor, then I was a branch pastor. And I'm looking at him then, he says, you know, I'm here now. And I said, you're not acting like one. He said, how, sir? I said, I watched you. On 3-4 occasions, you came late. I said, did you join the membership class? He said, no. Did you come around when we're going for evangelism? He said, no. I don't know what you wear there, but you are not a leader here. Whatever they made you there, it'd be a chieftaincy title. But here, you are not. Because we have to see you. So I tell people, wherever you are elsewhere, I respect whatever they made you, but here we get to see amongst us. Are you able amongst us? Do you love the truth? Hate covetousness? Do you fear God? Do you show the examples? Are you capable? We look at that here. Not that you say, what's your name? First timers. Say, what's your name? By the grace of God. I am Reverend Doctor. You can drop the doctor part, but I'm a Reverend Doctor Chris Shebun Onoika. DD, CHD. By the grace of God, I've been in the ministry, this work, about 25 years. So the glory of God. That's all I want to say for now. Just my humble self. Hey, sir. Let's see it. No, let's hear it. Let's see it. Come on. Let's see it. That's how you become an elder. Not by mouth. Not by mouth. I was in a Bible school and one of the students said, you don't talk to me like that. He raised his voice against one of the class, I think governors or something. You don't talk to me like that. I did this when I said, well, you are not showing it. We shall find out later that you were with Moses in Mount Sinai. Then we shall say, wow! And this man is so simple, so humble, so teachable. And he was with Moses. They went to the mountain together. They brought the law. But now you've told us. And we checked it. You were not there. So let's have you leave it. Let's see the leadership in your examples, not in your color. Then you are now amongst us. In some folks like that, maybe where they used to fellowship before, they used to be, highly respected, 24 elders. They get to a new church and everybody says, sorry, we got toilets to clean. No. I remember years ago, myself and my friend, 94, 27 years back, we had this group of friends. We had this name we called ourselves Council of Bishops. No, College of Bishops. You can't imagine your pastor like that, right? College of Bishops, so we had different titles for ourselves. One of my friends was called Pope. Yeah, he's our Pope. So we say, without a Pope, you have no hope, you're on dope, and you cannot cope. I made that wrap up. Amen. And you are on the rope. Come on. And then he says, a popeless man is a hopeless man. And then, you want more? Okay, hold on, thank you. So we had another guy called Bishop. So they called him Bishop. We had another guy, evangelist, was a circle of bishops. I was called, you won't hear that, but I was called senior shepherd or good shepherd, anyone. So we used to feel we were so big boys. We could code Greek and Hebrew. We are taught on the day of Pentecost, taught in Samaria, we taught in Chentra, we have been through Egypt, we came out of Egypt, we were In Babylon, we were everywhere, so come on. So we were attending a camp meeting, and then we had an apostolic meeting into the night. So we slept late, you know, prayed in tongues, had Holy Ghost meeting. So the next morning, everybody was waking up to pray. We couldn't wake up. I wake up with you to pray. I'm already praying. And so Pastor Shalaladile, you know, he came to wake us up. He said, "You guys get up." I looked at him. Oh my God. Yeah. So you guys, you need to go wash the toilet. What? Oh my God! Last week, I preached in 4 churches. I laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. Huh? The lame saw, and the blind walked. Come on, you got that. Okay, thank you. So, I did all again. Can you ask me to watch? I was rebelling. Then he said, "Oh yeah, nothing cannot wash toilet." I said, "Eh? My anointing toilet?" And we all got there, and we, men of God. Now, if you know a boarding house toilet, how it looks like, you know it's a coat of many colors. And that's where we're ministering. And I told myself, I said, really, pride has got into your heart. If you're truly a Christian leader and minister, you would have been the first person to get up that morning and lead or led by example. So you drop all the cliche. It's not to sit here or sit here. It's to be the person we can look at and say, that's what we should be like. That's the leader. And that's what the church should be. It's a people of examples. Amongst you. In Numbers 11, same method. Learning something? Numbers 11. Same method. In 16, this is what he said. He said, "Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people." Whom you know. Now let me say something. This is quick. You know, God does not choose leaders for pastors. Quit thinking that, you know, God. No. God gives leaders who choose those who walk with them. You provide it. That's what Jethro told Moses. What God told Moses, who do you know to be the leaders of the people? You choose. So it's not a praying matter. It's not something you're going to pray. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, show me. Show you what? So I said, but Pastor, in Acts 11, Acts 1, they prayed to choose. The reason why they prayed to choose was because they rolled out the parameters. 2 people fitted into it. They said, who are we going to take to replace Judas? They didn't say, who should replace Judas? There's one guy. If that guy yarns doctrine, hey! His knowledge of exegesis is exegetica. Holy Ghost meeting, he can give 5 words to everybody at once. No? They said, okay, look for among the brethren, the fellow who has been with us from the baptism that John preached to the day that Jesus was taken away, who was with us all the time. All the time. Not the guy whose messages on your phone is full of, sorry sir, permission not to come. Permission not to be a Christian. Permission to go to hell. No. That's not what he sends. He sends, sir, thank you for what you are. Just like you said yesterday, I have done what you told me. He's there all the time. He's there on Sunday. He's there on Tuesday. He's there on Wednesday. He said, that is the person that can be ordained to be a witness of the resurrection. 2 folks now showed up. How they said, oh, come on, that's quite good. 2. Imagine in the 120, only 2 qualified. Leadership is not beans, just 2. If you thought that was interesting, in Acts 6, amongst at least 8,000, only 7. 7. 8,000 brethren or more. 7. Look at the whole of Israel. 70. So which means, even though that's the will of God for everyone to be, But leadership is not a right. No. It's something that you have to aspire towards and become by example. Acts 6, choose from amongst you. Acts 20, 17. So we must know how it works. The church is a call that people, remember that, named and functional by service. So let me describe the church for you. We are family because we belong to the same Father. Family by the Spirit, yeah? Ephesians 2, 20, 29 and 20. Household of God by one Spirit, yeah? We are sons of God, we are family, we are brethren. We are also saints, called saints. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. We are a holy people. 1 Peter 2, 9. A holy people. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. We are a holy people. Then also, listen to me, we are a family of ministers. The church is such that, listen carefully what I'm about to say, we have a common vocation, a common career. What is common to all of us, believers in every tribe and tongue, is a singular career that we all engage in Christianity. So we are a body of sons, a body of saints, and a body of ministers. Don't lose that. That's a critical part of what we are saying. So, if you are in the church and all you hear in the church is, you are not born again. Oh, hey, hey, hey. Oh, hey. Sit down and relax. It is your father's, your father owns the world. Hey, you're a new creation. Woo, wow. And come on. That's all you hear. Oh, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Okay, for what purpose? Hey, now. Just forgiving. You know that song. You don't know the song. You don't know the song. Somebody says, ah, Pastor, you've heard that one too. I've heard it. You know? He said, oh, we're not born again. Wow. Eh? I know. We're not under the law. No. We're not in Christ. Oh, as he is. So are we. Oh, Lord. As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. I'm just like Jesus. Ah. Which of the Jesus? Jesus the servant? No, I don't like that one. Jesus the sacrifice? Ah, no. The preacher? Who always prayed all night? Ah. That's finished work. Who fasted? It's finished work. It's finished work. Other one is, he did it for me. Jesus did it all. He did it all for me. He did it all for me. Yeah. Why was he not saved for you? We're a church of ministers. And that ministry is not confusing. It's straightforward. Now, when you begin to read things in Scripture, we've done this study over and over again. When you read, for example, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, it said some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. What is he talking about? Verse 27. Members of the body of Christ. And he's not referring to individuals. He's talking about members of the body of Christ. Body of Christ simply means the union of God and man. So what is the fruit of that? Is apostle, prophet, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, governments, helps, diversities of tongues. So if I am in the body of Christ, these are the functions of the body of Christ. These are the things functional because of the body of Christ. That is why he said, covet earnestly the best gift. You don't covet persons. He was talking about persons. He won't ask you to covet gifts in verse 31. In Romans 12 again, Romans 12, Romans 12, he says that we have many members in four. In one body, all members have not the same office. The members there refers to the gifts. Many are one body in Christ, every member one of another. It's not talking about persons, but gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. In Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I said to you, the word some is not quantity. It's the word H-O in the Greek. The prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher. So what we see as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are the examples of the ministry of Jesus. That's what describes the ministry of Jesus. All that ministry is found in Jesus. So in the body of Christ or in the local church of the body of Christ, these are the expressions of Jesus amongst believers. They are not primarily persons, even though they walk through persons. So when someone develops to the point of being an elder, examples, apart from being exemplary to us in conduct, he also will showcase or demonstrate this office of Jesus in his service. So watch this. So the church of Jesus in glory is the church of Jesus having the expressions of Christ in what he does. Now let me mention two things critically. The church therefore walks in the glory of God in two ways. When we meet and what we do. Our meetings and our mission. When we meet and also what we do. And so there are things we must avoid. I'll pick on a few more in the third service. There are things we must avoid in our service of the Lord. Let me mention it again. You know, what we think is that God will call someone, he's a believer. So because he's a believer, why is he a believer? His job is just to be a believer, then go to heaven. No! The moment he's born again, he has been given a purpose to live for. So which means that salvation not just takes away sin, it gives you a purpose to live for. Salvation gives you a ministry. It gives you a lifetime work. So salvation gives you a purpose. We say Saints Community Church. Making your life count. How? By the gospel. So we're not apologetic about that. I said that in the first service. Some guys say, well, I don't like that church. It's all about ministry. It's all about prayer. It's all about this. Well, sorry. That's what we found in the word. Now, the contrast of what you are trying to show us is not from the word. It's from somewhere along the line. Somewhere you saw. It's not the word. And see, if you have never met someone who doesn't have apologies about God's word, just look at me. I don't really care how many people do not believe it. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't. Also, well, but why is this different? No, this is not different. It's that one that is different. Don't call people that obey the word as different. No, it's what you are seeing elsewhere. I'm not saying we are only, no, we can't be the only church doing what's right. There will be a heretic movement. I'm just saying, you have certain examples. You say, no, but I like that place. You know, they just say, how many of you here are doctors? Come to this side. How many of you here are lawyers? Yeah, praise the Lord. So we're going to have lawyers fellowship. You know, to help our career, to network, we share our complimentary card. There's nothing wrong in sharing a complimentary card. At least have one. But that's not the job of a church. Oh, well, we have pregnant women. or people, or singles. Single to mingle, so I can tingle. Or, excuse me? No, not ecclesia. The groupings of the ecclesia is for teaching, mentorship, and discipleship. Exodus 18. The local church is for groupings. When we group people together, it's for the purpose of teaching, discipleship, and training for ministry. But it's so strenuous. It's so strenuous. How could we? Must we all pray? I don't want to join the prayer department. I took over a pastor some years ago, 23 years ago, and I was supposed to just pastor briefly for them. And I started pastoring in January, and I dropped it May 20. It was both talks about there. I won't forget. So when I got there, and they said they had a prayer department and some evangelism department. They call them outreach department. So I got all the workers to sit down, and then I now called out the outreach guys. I said, so exactly, you guys are the outreach here, yeah. So what is the special talent you have that we don't have? You never heard that question before. Now, when you talk about the music, they have talents that even when we sing in one accord, we know you don't have, some of you don't have it. As a talent. All those guys who do the technical things, that's. But I said, what do you have? And they're looking. The HOD was looking. So I called the other guys who are the prayer warriors. So, okay, what's the skill you have that we don't have? So tell us so that we can know. Everybody's shocked. Because those two things for all believers. And then they have a group of folks who are, they call them kingdom financiers. Kingdom financial gurus. It's ridiculous. Giving is a ministry of all saints. Maybe one day we also have a group called church members. Because like this heavenly race is long. Every believer should. Come on. Are you there? So you are here right now. You don't attend the prayer group meetings. You don't attend any prayer group. You say, well, for now, I'm observing what they are doing. Why have you not come to pray?
I'm just observing. You know, I don't like to jump into things like that. So, okay.
So how long are you going to observe?
I don't know. Sometimes 2 years or 3 years. You know, I just keep observing to just see whether I can fit in.
What size are you? So we can tell you where to fit in. Come on, fit. You're just carnal. You are an irresponsible Christian. That's what you are. I say it to you. It doesn't matter the kind of models you see elsewhere. Oh, well, my friend is in my office. He doesn't even go to church on some Sundays. His pastor understands. He doesn't go for prayer or anything. Like, if his pastor sends him prophecy on a Monday morning, today is your week. You are the cedar of Lebanon. You rise like an eagle. Don't worry. Anything that wants to be to take your place will die for your sake. He said, I pray for you this week. I declare and decree. That's what his pastor does for you. Both him and his pastor. On the last day. See, you better don't live for people's applause. It doesn't amount to anything. You can be disobeying God like people say, go devil, go. So look at the Bible and look at what you are seeing. If it is not the Bible, it is not the right thing. That's as simple as it is. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you have been discipled to take his place. Right? In the earth. That is the discipleship pattern. Mark 3:14. Are you learning something? Mark 3:14. Jesus chooses his disciples to be with him, Mark 3:14, that he might send them to preach. Look at the two things. To be with him, that he might send them to preach. Jesus discipled people for one purpose. Look up for one purpose. It's just one purpose: to preach the gospel. That is the only purpose why he discipled them. One purpose. So when he met with them, Matthew 4:19, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. Luke 5:10-11, you shall no longer catch fish only, you shall also catch men. That was the only thing he called them for. He didn't say, you know, come to me, you know, I discover you're struggling in your business. Don't worry. It is your season of breakthrough. I, Yahweh, has come. Any Yahweh, Yahweh that is around you, I will yah like paper. No? He called them to preach the gospel. But before they preach the gospel, they will be with him. He'll mentor them, train them, then teach them. That's all. So, which discipleship pattern are you following? The one that is in the body of Christ, or the one that is common around where you are? Don't forget. You will not answer to the media. You will not answer to the 21st century churches. You are going to answer to Jesus. So the church is a church in service. In Luke 9, quickly look at this. In Luke 9, where he calls out is choosing disciples. And what does he say? A guy comes to him and says, I love your teaching ministry. I want to go follow you where you go. Luke 9:57. He said, birds have nests, foxes have holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another guy, he said, follow me. So let me go and bury my father. Look at what he said to him. Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and do what? Preach the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means to preach the gospel. To follow Jesus means to preach the gospel. Let me say it again. To follow Jesus means to preach the gospel. To be in the church of Jesus means that you have been mentored, trained, tutored to preach the gospel. To be an example of it, okay? To live your life for it and to preach the gospel. The church is not a career development center. The church is not a career inspiration center. The church is a place where believers inspire one another by examples to preach and live for the gospel. That's what the church is. So, your mission must be straightforward. Every time I speak to those who are in leadership in our church, or across our churches, I keep their focus on that. Because why do I do that often? Because we are in an age where different examples have emerged. We are so far from the first century church that you will always imagine, why is what we are doing so far away from what they were doing? It's been 2,000 years. And so things have evolved through the 5th century, the 8th century, the 14th century, 16th century. Things have been, you see, words have just been translated, transformed. Then before you know it, we are adopting things that Jesus never said, nor the apostles. The church is a group of saints born of the same Father who preach and teach the gospel. They live for it as well. That is the church. Any other thing added to it is not the church. So, we must get that clear. Jesus chose people for the purpose of the gospel. Are you there? So the church in service is the glory of God. That's what it is. So we have options. Options as to what we do and what we don't do. So we are, let's go over a few things. We are an Exodus congregation. We are an Exodus congregation. And the Exodus congregation, were they a congregation of servants? Come on. The church of the firstborn. That's what they were. And therefore, they met in groups. Look at Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. They met in groups, just like we are meeting this morning. The church is also identified in physical gatherings. I've emphasized that so well that you shouldn't lose that. Leviticus 23. The first thing about them is Leviticus 22, where God told them in verse 32, Leviticus 22, verse 32, neither shall you profane my holy name, I'll be alone among children of Israel, I'm the Lord which allows you. I'm the Lord that makes you holy, I'm holy, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, I am the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, concerning the feast of the Lord. The word feast is the word moed. M-O-E-D. Listen carefully now. The Exodus people had regular meetings. Moed, which is where you have feast, means appointed meetings. Appointed place of gatherings. So they met in groups. They met in a corporate group. They met in subgroups. Then he says, watch this. Which you proclaim to be the holy convocations. Holy convocations. The word there is mikra. M-I-Q-R-A. Holy convocations. Mikra. Exodus 12:16. Just text, you can check up later. Exodus 12:16. Leviticus 23, the one we are reading now. Verse 3, verse 7, verse 8, verse 21, verse 24, verse 25, and 36. Leviticus 23, verse 3, verse 7, verse 8, verse 21, verse 24, verse 25, and 36. Don't forget Exodus 12:16. Then Numbers 28, verse 18. Verse 25, verse 26. Numbers 28, verse 18, verse 25, and 26. Numbers 29, verse 1, verse 7, and 12. Numbers 28, 18, 25, 26. Numbers 29, verse 1, verse 7, and 12. Isaiah 1, 13. What does mikra mean? Mikra is where you have the word kaleo. From where you have the word kaleo, the word with the Greek word now, which is the Hebrew word quara, Q-A-R-A. It means to call. To call out. So listen carefully to this. Don't lose this explanation. The church, listen to this, is called out from darkness to light at salvation. The way the church will fulfill its mission on earth is by continuous calling, meetings. God wants us to meet very often. Listen to me, 21st century believer. There's nothing called too much church meetings. It's a worldly thinking. It's an idea you got from the world. There's nothing called too much prayer. You have become subsumed to the world. God wants us to be calling ourselves because He has called us. Our meetings show the holiness of the church. We must keep calling ourselves together. The mikra of God is a demonstration of the call of God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We read that earlier, Matthew 16, verse 17, 18, 19. But two chapters after, Matthew 18, Jesus now describes church as an assembly of people. Matthew 18. He says, if your brother offends you, watch this. He says, go to him. Win your brother back. Well, if he doesn't listen to you the next time, go with two or three. If he's not going to hear them, then in verse 17, tell it to the church. The gathering of believers where two or three are gathered together in my name. So the church is a gathering by salvation. It's also a gathering by identity. So our gatherings fulfills our mission. You cannot defy the gathering of saints and worship the gatherer of the saints. It's not possible. Now, like I said, there are instances for persecution and reasons, you know, just like last year, when for sakes of health care, people were asked to stay away from large gatherings and all that. There are nations like that. Or instances, for example, where they are under severe persecution. But even at that, places like China and even the Arab countries where there are some restrictions here and there, we still find believers honor God in the practice of church. The mikra, the muhid. That leads us to say, church meetings are special meetings. They are what? Special meetings. Do you treat church as special? Do you? Well, I have a personal relationship with God. I told you, quit that crap. That thing is nonsense. There's no personal relationship with God that excludes other believers. There's nothing like that. That's idol worship. Don't create an idol that you worship and feed. An idol that suits your emotions, that suits your desires. Make sure you are worshiping God. Church meetings are muhid. They are special meetings. There are meetings that when I'm going to, I'm honoring my Savior. And I'm giving the right respect and regard to my salvation. Are you learning something? So, no matter what you see around, no matter the crowd of the people that attest to it, crowds do not confirm the truth or the otherwise. No. Neither does a small number confirm that it's true. God wants His church to grow in numbers, and we will grow in numbers. But do not use numbers as a template to judge anything. It's a wrong concept. The Bible is your litmus test. Is it written in Scripture? And that's why we took our time to explain the concept of church in a wholesale way. So you don't get carried away by things that you've heard, or you've seen, or you've grown up with. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll probably close from here, and we'll take it off from the third service. Ephesians chapter 1, did you learn something?
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 1. You know, people hardly read the meaning of Paul's prayer. Ephesians 1. You know that Pauline prayer? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The hope of His calling. Have you wondered what the calling is? The hope of His calling. The word here is a noun of the word kalio. Is the word klesis. K-L-E-S-I-S. That's a Greek word. Let's trace the word a bit. Romans 11 and 29. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that's the calling of God over Israel. And we have read what that calling is. Romans 11:29. 1 Corinthians 7, classes. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in his calling wherein he was called. Had thou been called a servant, care not for it, but if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, a servant, is the Lord's freeman. He that is called free is Christ what? Servant. 1 Corinthians 7:20-22. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Your calling. Then look at that Ephesians, now Philippians 3:14, the price of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ, Philippians 3:14. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, or the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Hebrews, or 2 Timothy 1:9, talking about salvation. Hebrews 3:1, partakers of the heavenly calling. 2 Peter 1:10. But let's focus on the Ephesians word. The Ephesians word, the hope of his calling. Look at Ephesians 4:1. What is the calling? Let's read it together. Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, that's the calling, wherein you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Then he starts to discuss ministry. That is the call. Ephesians 4. When he spoke about the armor of God, the whole armor of God describes ministry. Any serious student of the Bible knows the moment you use warfare or a farmer, then you are referring to service. The armor of God is for service. That's why it says, the sandals shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Stand to your feet, lift your hands, and bless the Lord.